Appreciate the presence of each one this evening. We continue our lesson that we began with this morning, the throne of David. Had a reading earlier in 2 Samuel 7, 11 through verse 14, reminded us of the promises that God had made to David regarding a seed that he would raise up from his own body. Remember, David was told by God in 1 Corinthians 28 that he would not build him a house because he was a man of war. But God told David that instead, God would build him a house. That is a dynasty. A dynasty, of course, that would rule and reign on his throne forever. Of course, the one who would bring about that dynasty would be Christ. He was the seed that was to come forth from David's body. He was also the one who would build a house for God, not David. We looked at those promises this morning again, 2 Samuel 7, verse 11 through verse 14. We pick up in our study now, having noticed that those promises were all fulfilled in Christ Jesus, though the house that was built by Christ was the house of God, the church of the living God, and he rules and reigns on David's throne in heaven at the present hour. As we talk about the throne of David, we must also consider the throne of David from the time of David to the time of Christ. Because there was a period in the life of the nation of Israel when there was no one seated on the throne of David. Remember, the lineage of David, the dynasty of David, continued king after king. Remember, the king after David was Solomon. Then after that, another from the line of David, and another from the line of David, to the time that they were taken away into Babylonian captivity, which occurred around 597 B.C., when Nebuchadnezzar came against the city and took its king and its inhabitants away into Babylonian captivity. The king ruling and reigning then was a king by the name of Jeconiah, or Jehoiachin, also known by the name of Coniah. So it kind of gets confusing because the names of these individuals were changed. Sometimes they were changed by God. Sometimes they were changed by, like Nebuchadnezzar. The king that served before Jehoiachin was Jehoiakim. He was actually, his name was Eliakim. But his name was changed to Jehoiakim by Nebuchadnezzar. Remember, Jehoiakim was the king that when Jeremiah wrote and prophesied about the destruction of the city of Jerusalem and them being taken away into Babylonian captivity, and when Jehoiakim read that, remember, he's the one that cut it up with the penknife. He was a bad and evil king. He was the father of Jehoiachin, the one whom we read about here in 2 Kings 24 and in verse 6. So Jehoiakim rested with his fathers. Jehoiakim, also known as Eliakim, he was the son of Josiah, the last good king of Judah. But again, these were descendants of David. And so when Jehoiakim rested with his fathers, then Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his place. Now, Jehoiachin is also known as Jeconiah and Coniah in the scriptures. The king of Egypt did not come out of his land anymore, for the king of Babylon had taken all that belongs to the king of Egypt, from the brook of Egypt to the river Euphrates. Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 3 months. His mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father had done. At that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city as his servants were besieging it. Then Jehoiachin, king of Judah, his mother, his servants, his princes, and his officers went out to the king of Babylon, and the king of Babylon, in the 8th year of his reign, took him prisoner. And he carried out from there all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. And he cut in pieces all the articles of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had said. Also he carried into captivity all Jerusalem, all the captains and all the mighty men of valor, 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and smiths. None remained except the poorest people of the land. And he carried Jehoiachin captive to Babylon, the king's mother, the king's wives, his officers, and the mighty of the land he carried into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. It seems as though that Judah is destroyed, but the city of Jerusalem is not really destroyed. But the lineage of David has ended with this man. As far as a direct descendant from David rules and reigns on David's throne, there's another descendant, and he will rule 11 years before the city is finally destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. But this Jehoiachin, God stated later on that this individual would be written as childless. Remember, Jehoiachin, also known as Coniah, Jeremiah 22 and in verse 28. Is this man, Coniah, that's Jehoiachin, a despised broken idol, a vessel in which is no pleasure? The answer to that is yes. He was a very wicked king. He was like his father, Jehoiakim. Why are they cast out? That is, why are they cast out of Jerusalem? Why are they cast out of the dynasty of David? He and his descendants, and cast into a land which they do not know. Why? Well, it's because of their evil. That's why. Know what he says. Verse 29, Jeremiah 22. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, write this man down as childless. Jehoiachin, God said, write him down as childless. Now, that doesn't mean that he wouldn't have any children, because after he was taken away into Babylonian captivity, he did have children. He had more than one son. His son's name is mentioned in the genealogy of Christ in Matthew 1 and verse 11 and following. Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel. Shealtiel was a descendant of Jeconiah. Jeconiah is Coniah, is Jehoiachin. They're all the same people. So Jeconiah begot Shealtiel. Shealtiel was his son, direct descendant of David. That's why he's in the lineage of David. The Zerubbabel, begotten by Shealtiel, he was one of the chief individuals that came out of Babylonian captivity with the first people that returned back to the city of Jerusalem. That's the Zerubbabel under consideration. But we know that Jeconiah had children, but yet the prophet said he would be written down as childless. The point is that he would no longer have a descendant to rule and reign on David's throne. That's the point of being written down childless. There would not be someone after Coniah, Jehoiachin, Jeconiah to rule and reign on David's throne. Coniah wouldn't have that. Jeconiah wouldn't have that. He wouldn't have a son to follow him to rule and reign on David's throne. That's what it means by he was to be written down as childless. Verse 30, Jeremiah 22 again. Thus says the Lord, write this man down as childless, a man who shall not prosper in his days. For none, note this is important, for none of his descendants shall prosper, that is, shall be successful, sitting on the throne of David and ruling anymore in Judah. So no descendant, get that, no descendant, this is a direct line from David, no descendant from him would prosper sitting on the throne of David, the literal throne of David in the city of Jerusalem, ruling again in Judah. That's important. We'll come back to it later in our study. Well, after Jehoiachin, after Jeconiah, after Coniah was taken away into Babylonian captivity, Jerusalem still continued for 11 years. The Babylonians installed a king. That king's name was Zedekiah. 2 Kings 24 and verse 17. Then the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, Jeconiah's uncle, king in his place, and changed his name to Zedekiah. Zedekiah was a wicked king as well. God was much displeased with him. The Babylonians, having set him up in that place, God simply did not recognize him as king and as the rightful heir to the throne. Even though he was a descendant of David, he was Jehoiachin's uncle. He was a brother to Jehoiakim or Eliakim. God announced that through Ezekiel the prophet that the reign of Zedekiah was to be overturned, and that the turban or headband and crown of Zechariah would be removed until the one to whom it rightfully belonged would come. Note this prophecy from Ezekiel chapter 21 and verse 25. Now to you, O profane, wicked prince of Israel, speaking of Zechariah, whose day has come, whose iniquity shall end, thus says the Lord God. Remove the turban, that's the headband that kings and priests would wear, and take off the crown. Nothing shall remain the same. Exalt the humble and humble the exalted. Overthrow, overthrow, I will make it overthrown. I'll bring it to ruin. It shall be no longer until he comes whose right it is, and I will give it to him. I want you to note that. Until he comes. The he is capitalized. Evidently, it must have reference to deity. Whose right it is, and I will give it to him, capitalized as well. Until he comes to whose right it is. Remember, there is no king from the line of David going to prosper, sitting on the throne of David in the city of Jerusalem, ruling over Judah anymore. It's not going to happen in a physical kingdom. Zechariah is the last reigning king. God doesn't recognize him as such, and his rule and power is to be taken away until he comes, that is, until Christ comes, whose right it is, and I will give it to him. This has reference to that seed promise that God had made to David, that when David is dead, he would rise up one from his own body, a seed from his own body, to rule and reign on his throne. And that's the one under consideration. So we have the absence of a ruler then on David's throne after Babylon has destroyed Judah and all of Judah has been taken away into Babylonian captivity. So from Zedekiah's time until the time of Christ, no one was on David's throne until Christ came. Acts 2 and verse 31. He, that is David, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we're all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. He is Lord, Master, Ruler, one supreme in authority, and he is Christ. He is the long-awaited Messiah to come. He is the Messiah, the descendant, the seed that came from David's body. So Christ has the right to David's throne. But Christ could not sit on the throne of David in Judah and prosper because he is of the seed of Coniah, Jeconiah, Jehoiachin. So we recognize and realize that it's not a physical kingdom under consideration, like the premillennialists want us to believe. Note that again, Jeremiah 37 and verse 1. Now King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. Matthew 1 and verse 12 again. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel. But Jeconiah, no one from his seed, would reign on the throne of David and prosper in the city of Jerusalem over a physical kingdom. Christ is seated on the throne of God, on the throne of David, but he doesn't rule and reign in Judah. He doesn't rule and reign in the city of Jerusalem. And he will not, as the premillennialists teach, for 1,000 years. Why? Because he's a descendant of Coniah. He's a descendant of Jeconiah. He's a descendant of Jehoiachin. Luke 1 and verse 32. He will be great, the angel said to Mary, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Either God gave Jesus the throne of his father David, or he did not. We know that he did. But it's not a throne in literal Jerusalem and in literal Judah, over which David rules and reigns. It is a spiritual kingdom, because Jesus could not have an earthly reign from Jerusalem. It's just impossible. Remember the prophecy, Jeremiah 22, and in verse 30, thus says the Lord, write this man down as childless, a man who shall not prosper in his days, for none of his descendants shall prosper, that is, be success, sitting on the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. Though the premillennialists teach that, well, Christ is going to come back, establish an earthly reign on David's throne in the city of Jerusalem, and rule and reign for 1,000 years, we see that it cannot be true. Because Jesus is a direct descendant of this man, Coniah, Jeconiah, Jehoiachin. He's a direct descendant. And if God's word is to be believed, none of his descendants shall prosper. That is, be a success, sitting on the throne of David in Judah. But Jesus is seated on the throne of David at the right hand of God. He is ruling and reigning over a spiritual kingdom, not over a physical kingdom, as the premillennialists would want us to believe. And Jesus will rule and reign on David's throne until death is destroyed. So, you might say from the time that Zedekiah was taken away, and you remember how Zedekiah died, his sons were taken captive by the Babylonians. And then Zedekiah was taken captive by the Babylonians. And Zedekiah was made to watch as his sons were murdered and put to death by the Babylonians. And then they put his eyes out and took him away to Babylonian captivity as well. But from the time of Zechariah, no one from the family of David sat on David's throne. And no one would any longer prosper from David's family sitting on his throne in Jerusalem. But Jesus is sitting on the throne of David at the right hand of God and ruling and reigning not over a physical kingdom, but over a spiritual kingdom. And he will continue to sit on David's throne until death is destroyed. So Jesus is now on the throne of David, and he will continue there until he destroys death. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. And he must reign till he's put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. So he delivers up the kingdom. What kingdom? Well, the kingdom that was to last forever. The kingdom that was given to the seed of David. The kingdom that is the house of God. The church of the living God. And he must rule and reign over that kingdom until he's put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Of course, the premillennialists will make the objection, and The objection is sometimes offered that Jesus is seated on his own throne at the right hand of God. But he is not seated on the throne of David right now. That's what they'll say. They'll say he's seated on his own throne, but he's not seated on the throne of David. Well, many times the scripture says he's seated on the throne of David. Remember this morning we noted that the throne of David is the throne of God. He is the throne of our Lord. So this objection can be answered by showing that Solomon sat on his own throne. 1 Kings 1 and verse 46, Solomon sits on the throne of the kingdom. Solomon sits on the throne of the kingdom, 1 Kings 2 and in verse 12, then Solomon sat on the throne of his father David. Solomon sat on the throne of the kingdom, but Solomon did not necessarily sit on his own throne, though he did, but his own throne was also the throne of David, remember? 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 23, then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord. We noted these this morning. 1 Samuel 8 and verse 5, and he said to him, look, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. So Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me that I should reign over them. Remember, God was ruling and reigning over Israel. God was seated on the throne. But then God allowed men to sit on the throne. And he allowed the descendants of David to rule and reign over the kingdom. But it was God's throne. The throne of David, the throne of the kingdom, the throne of the Lord is the throne of God. That's what it is. And God selected David to be seated on his throne, Acts 13 and verse 22. And when he had removed him, when he had removed Saul, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. God gave David then the throne, the right of rule and power. Therefore, the throne of David was the throne of God. God established this throne forever. When Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, he also sat on the throne of God. Jesus likewise is seated on his own throne, as Revelation 3 and in verse 21, as he himself says it. To him who overcomes, Jesus said, I will grant to sit with me, note this, on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So Jesus' throne is God's throne, just as David's throne was God's throne, just as Solomon's throne was God's throne. The throne of David is the throne of God. Again, Luke 1 and verse 32, he will be great and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Just different ways to describe one throne. It is the throne of God. Even though it's referred to as the throne of David, the throne of Solomon, the throne of the kingdom, the throne of the Lord, of the kingdom of the Lord, it is just one throne, different ways to describe the same throne. And now, Jesus is now both king and priest on the throne of David. Jesus was prophesied to sit on the throne of David forever. Remember, 2 Samuel 7 and verse 13, he shall build a house for my name. That's the seed. The seed under consideration we know is Jesus Christ. God said he would build a house for my name, that is for me, and Jesus did build a house. He built the church, he built the temple, the kingdom of God. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Jesus is to be priest and king on the throne. He, of course, is priest after the order of Melchizedek. Psalm 110 and verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. A direct reference to Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ cannot be king on the throne of David, ruling in Jerusalem or in Judah and prospering, remember? It's not possible. But he is priest seated on the throne, and he's king seated on the throne, but no direct descendant from David can be on the literal throne of David in the literal city of Jerusalem, in the literal province of Judah. Genesis 14 and verse 18, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And Jesus is priest after the order of Melchizedek. Zechariah 6 and in verse 12, Zechariah is told to speak, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, saying, behold the man whose name is the branch. From this place he shall branch out, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule on his throne. So he shall be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. So this one whom Zechariah speaks of here in this prophecy is going to build the temple of the Lord. Who is that? It's Christ. He built the temple. He built the house for God. He was the seed that built the house. David wanted to build a house, but no, God was going to bring one from David's body. Who would build a house? It was Jesus Christ. Jesus built the temple of the Lord. He built the church. He brought it into existence, and he sits and rules on that throne, the throne of David, as high priest. In Psalm 110 and verse 4, the Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. In Jeremiah 22 again, Jeremiah 22, remember it in verse 30, for none of his descendants shall prosper sitting on the throne of David and ruling anymore in Judah. The premillennialists just don't read this. If you ever have a discussion with premillennialists and wonder where to go with them in regard to the conversation when they believe that Jesus is going to come back, literally rule and reign on David's throne in the city of Jerusalem for 1,000 years, come to this prophecy. Come to this prophecy. Coniah, then go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. The genealogy of Jesus Christ. Jesus descended from this man. But no descendant from this man can prosper, be successful, sitting on the throne of David in Judah anymore. He's talking about the physical city of Jerusalem, the physical Judah. And of course, the premillennialists believe that Jesus is going to establish a physical earthly kingdom, which simply is not true. It will not happen. He simply cannot be both a priest and a king on this earth. Matthew chapter 11, or chapter 1 and verse 11 and 12 I just mentioned. Luke 1 and verse 32 again, the angel of the Lord said to Mary, he will be great and be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he did. Hebrews 8 and verse 4 though says, for if he was on earth, he would not be a priest, since they are priests who offer gifts according to the law. Note that. If Jesus is on earth, he could not be a priest. Why? Well, there were still priests on earth. That tells us that the book of Hebrews was written before the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Note that. Since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. The priest still existed when the book of Hebrews was written. But Jesus could not be priest on earth. But he is a priest. He's our great high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And he is seated on the throne as priest and king. But he is not a priest on earth. He's a priest on the throne of God in heaven. That's where he's at. And he is of the tribe of Judah. All the priests came from the tribe of Levi. Hebrews 7 and verse 14, for it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning the priesthood. Having been from the tribe of Judah, he could not be a priest on earth, because he is from the tribe of Judah, and all priests who served in the priesthood were from the tribe of Levi and the family of Aaron. So Jesus could not be an earthly priest, nor could he be an earthly king. He must be a spiritual king. If he returns to this earth then and rules and reigns for 1,000 years in the city of Jerusalem like the premillennialists want us to believe, he cannot be a priest and he cannot be a king, because the scriptures would be contradicted. God said it can't happen. If he's a priest on earth, he's from the wrong priesthood. He's of the priesthood of Melchizedek. Priest on earth, sir, from the family of Levi, the family of Aaron. And he could not be a king, a descendant of David, ruling and reigning in Judah. He simply would not be successful. So the prophecies given to David regarding his house is one of the basic Old Testament prophecies. Again, it goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. The prophecies concerning the seed promise. The seed promise. The seed promise, again, was made to Satan. Then the seed promise was made to Abraham, to Isaac and Jacob. Then to David, fulfilled in Christ Jesus. From these prophecies, we have an understanding of the messianic hope then that the Jews had, that a Messiah would arise, a descendant of David, and rule and reign on David's throne. This was the hope of a future Messiah to come for the Jewish people. This hope, of course, was in Jesus Christ, the seed of David. But it is not a hope for us to believe that he is going to rule and reign on an earthly throne for 1,000 years. He rules and reigns now from the throne of God, the throne of David, and is our great high priest. And he makes intercession for us. He has taken his own blood as a sacrifice into the Holy of Holies. And by that blood we can have the forgiveness of sins. But we have to access that blood. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you access that blood through belief in the gospel and obedience to it. Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. In the obedience of baptism, one's sins is washed away not by the water of baptism, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of the sacrifice, Christ himself. The high priest who offers up his own blood as our sacrifice for our sins. If you're a child of God and you have sin in your life, you too can access that blood to wash away your sins. Repent of your sins. Confess your sins. Pray to God that he will forgive you of it. And he's promised to cleanse you in the blood of Christ, restoring you to a rightful place in his sight. 1 John 1, verse 9 and following. If you're subject to the invitation of the Lord in any way, please come as we sing the song that has been selected.